Welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk Security Testing, the podcast where we cover all things security testing. My name is Ben.
And I'm Tom.
And today we're talking about context, but not in the way that you might think. What do we mean by that, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, context is king, right? It's what differentiates manual testing from automated testing. We often think about context in terms of understanding what the application or the infrastructure that a tester is supposed to be looking at is supposed to do. But there's heaps and heaps of context outside of just understanding that that's incredibly valuable. It's a gold mine to testers, right? Let me give you an example. So if I'm coming in to test an application and before I actually even get to touch that application, I get told, by the way, we've just changed the database a month ago. Also, we've had these 6 kinds of vulnerabilities come up on the last 5 pen tests we've had done. If I get told, we've hired a new development team and that new development team doesn't really, isn't familiar with our processes for management of secrets, those kinds of pieces of information instantly mean that I know where I should be looking first, what I should be looking for first. So context provided in scoping is, I think, where I'd like to focus on mostly at least in the first part of this conversation. From your perspective, when talking to a customer, what are some of the questions you think that we should be asking to try and tease out this sort of context?
What does the system do? Why is it built and supported in-house if it is?
Mm-hmm.
In a perfect world, what would the system do? So what does that roadmap look like? What are you trying to achieve within the system? Obvious questions that I think get overlooked because they're not necessary to getting a price, but are super important. Are what languages are you building in?
Yeah.
And then as we start to look at, this isn't so important when you're coming at something for the first time, but definitely after that point, what are you changing? How is that change process managed, and how informed are you of what they are changing, both in terms of the way it looks in the front end,
mm-hmm.
but also what's being changed in the back end?
That's a really interesting one, though. That question is one that I love to ask and I love to try and find out, and in theory should be an incredibly easy question to answer. But it's often not a question that the security person that you're talking to at the other end of the phone when you're having a conversation about doing the test has access to. Absolutely information that the product manager knows, or the developer or the engineer has. It's information that will be recorded in ticketing systems and defined in a roadmap. But I often find it's a barrier when you're first trying to kick off these kinds of tests. When you say, what's about to happen in terms of development, or what's just happened in terms of development, where, astonishingly, security is just not privy to that kind of a conversation, which is a massive shame because of exactly the reasons that I've just said. If somebody tells me they're about to test or they're about to implement a new search functionality or a new login functionality, I'm going to tell them, okay, then we should probably look for SQL injection and business logic flaws, right? If they tell me that they've not made any amendments to the site apart from copy, I can probably tell them that we can do a much, much more refined exercise to just look for things like deprecated libraries, which are the only kinds of vulnerabilities that don't require you to make a change to the system in order for them to be introduced. Why do you think that we struggle as security people? Why do you think we struggle to get this information?
This particular information, I think it's a lack of shouting about it. In my experience, what happens is pen testing company or pen tester or whatever says, can you give me some information on the system? They're given the information, they probe maybe with a few questions, and then they take what they've got and they crack on. That's consultancy at the end of the day.
Mm.
I don't think enough emphasis is placed on the value of it. I'll tell you where the emphasis is placed. is not enough context out, right? You know, if you write up a vulnerability that turns out to not be one because the system is supposed to do that, my God, context comes up then, right? But if that context was provided up front, i.e. this system is supposed to do this thing, then you wouldn't have that problem further down the line, right? So I think it's the absence of the lack of emphasis placed on its importance. If what you are seeking is a high quality test, a test that makes sense, and you know, a report that ideally is first time pass.
Maybe. I don't know. I've got a little bit of a different perspective from that. Like, yes, it is obviously true. The quality of the data in influences the quality of the data out. And if you're not getting given the information about, you know, the system that you're supposed to be testing, the libraries that are being used, or languages, rather, that are being used, if you're not being provided with a depth of knowledge that helps you to be able to build your remedial advice specific to the organization, then you're not going to be able to provide that quality of data out. But in my experience, developers and engineers don't engage, whether they've got the appetite or not, don't engage in security testing. And so, you know, we can shout about it all that we want. We're going to struggle to extract this information from the people that have this information, because an engineer or a developer is not going to sit on a call with us. And there are edge cases where this does happen, but they're not going to sit on a call with us and go through with us every ticket that they've progressed in the last 6 months. You know, that I think is the problem. It's not that we're not talking about this or asking for it enough, although that is true, right? You know, maybe we're not asking for it because we've sort of accepted fate and because we're sort of cognizant of the fact that it's very, very rare that we get anywhere near the level of understanding that we actually want out of the process when we do ask the questions. To me, you know, we need, as security people, to be working on ways to be frictionless in getting this information. Mm-hmm. You know, if you cannot, security is secondary to functionality and to progress inside an organization, right? You cannot slow down a development process, or you cannot take a developer away from their job to focus on security for any meaningful length of time. So we have tried and to an extent over the years failed to find ways to be able to extract that information from developers. And it's only very, very recently as new tools and new capabilities have come out onto the market, specifically designed just to do this one thing and to do it well, that we're actually starting to see some of that become possible.
Yeah, I think in any situation, if you're trying to understand something, in this case, it's the context in relation to how this app has changed over time, you're going to get the summary by asking the product manager, the lead developer, saying what has changed, and they're going to give you their version of events that will be influenced by whether they've had a coffee that morning, will be influenced by how much they've been paying attention over the last 6 months and what they've been paying attention to. Mm-hmm. You know, they will have areas of their system they're more familiar with than others, right? And that summary is valuable. But like in any situation, you would have the summary and then you would have the detail, right? And I think that's what we miss sometimes is the culmination of all of those tickets, the culmination of all the pull requests, the code diffs, whatever, is the detail in terms of what's changed. Now, whether that's human readable or not, dependent on the scale of the operation, you know, we speak to people that do changes, you know, hourly potentially, is up to question. But there are tools, you know, there are ways of processing all of that data and summarizing it and turning that into a few key testing actions that are going to be able to cover off against some of the vulnerabilities that might have been introduced by that period of change. And ultimately, we're not doing any of the job if we're not trying to understand this context, and customers also need to understand why we need it.
Yeah.
But then we're only doing part of the job by asking the question. You know, the like I said, that clarity, that detail is there. It's just about how we get it.
Yeah, and I think you're touching on a really poignant point when you spoke about the summaries, right? We, like, I probably do development and engineering teams a disservice when I say that they're not providing this information. I think a lot of them are more than happy to provide a summary, but that summary is massively biased by people, right? Mm-hmm. They believe that, well, hopefully they believe that their code is secure and that they've done everything right. Maybe they've got certain areas of concern for them, the areas that they know that they're, or they believe that they're weakest in, or the areas that maybe they didn't touch themselves and somebody else touched. They might think, oh, you know, I'm the senior dev on this program. This can't be the part that's got the vulnerabilities. It's the junior part, despite the fact that the senior touches the most sensitive functionality, right? So when we're actually just getting these summaries, these what should be distilled key pieces of information, that's not what we're getting. What we really need is a way to be able to provide the security people with an unfiltered version of the of what's gone on inside the development team without a spin, without the bias of the developers and the engineers, that they can then use their own nose to start to sniff out the areas that might be suspect. Obviously, that's incredibly difficult because we're talking about a massive, massive volume of data. We're talking about going through a backlog of tickets of months, potentially, if you're doing an annual assessment. But yeah, using automation, using tools, there are ways that you can actually start to do that distillation process, abstracting the personal biases out of the equation.
Yeah, makes total sense. So what prevents people from doing this then? What are the main reasons that stop people from being able to do this?
Well, as I say, one of them is engaging the teams, right? Or getting access to the information, I should say, rather than engaging the team. So application development teams and engineering teams more generally are often quite siloed from security, and especially quite siloed from security testers when they are more often than not external vendors or more often than not people that don't sit inside those teams for any reasonable period of time. Not having readily available access to the information, and then not having the tools available to be able to actually distill that information down in a sound way, using sound reasoning to be able to actually find the little nuggets that are lurking in there in amongst all of that rich context, so that you know where to focus on, right? Because you can take a security engineer and you can give them access to Jira and you can say, have at it. But if there's 200,000 tickets that they need to go through one by one, then that's not a tenable solution. If they can point it at a large language model that's been trained on what kinds of tickets are likely to introduce certain types of vulnerabilities, then obviously that becomes a much, much more tenable process. And if they're then provided with a list of which of those vulnerabilities can be found using tools that have already been run, and which of those vulnerabilities then can be whittled down into the ones that need a person to come in and actually test for them, then they've got an incredibly rich amount of context about what's gone on, distilled right down into the pieces of information that they need to know. You know, here are the vulnerabilities that might be present, here are the areas that they might be present, and here is the testing methodology that needs to be applied in order to determine whether they are or aren't. And I think that's, you know, that's really, really important. Yes, explain how the application works and what it's supposed to do. I think that makes sense to everybody. But just providing the mechanisms that people can understand what the most likely risks in the given scenario are is just as important.
Yeah, that makes an awful lot of sense. So if I am in a business today and thinking about how to put in a process to start the testing phase with a lot more context than we currently do. Mm-hmm. It sounds to me like the best way to do that is to go right back to the IT processes and the software development process and start thinking about the way things are ticketed. That might not necessarily be considered a security activity when that's being done, but it massively influences security later down the chain. Mm-hmm. It gives access to that information. any tips or advice on how security can influence that process?
Yeah, well, I think first and foremost, like I said before about the biases of developers, developers should not be writing tickets, taking or with a security spin on them, right? Yes, acknowledge the kinds of vulnerabilities that you think might be present or it might be introduced by something, so that when a developer goes out to build it, you know, as a project manager or as the person writing the tickets, yeah, you probably want to acknowledge some of the considerations there.
Like a threat model type thing.
Yeah, but don't write your tickets with the assumption that they're going to be read by a security team. Write them verbosely enough that somebody outside of the team could understand what was going on, but try and write them in an unbiased and just clear and verbose way. And then obviously build in the process as a business, build in the process that those tickets make it to the people or to the tool that's able to actually start applying a security lens over it. And that's it, right? It's a security lens that needs to be applied by people who are unbiased or by tools that are unbiased to be able to whittle down which of those tickets, which of those changes, which of those pieces of context are the ones that need to be focused on.
Fantastic. So I guess as we start to close out the podcast, in summary, we want to start thinking about what context you think would really apply to your business when it comes to performing security testing. And secondly, try and drill into the IT processes and the development processes to understand whether they are doing enough to capture context at their point so that you can then use that context later down the line. This doesn't necessarily mean there's more work involved. It just means that we need to be smarter about how certain teams are passing off to other teams. Brilliant. Agree with that summary?
Yeah, 100%. I think you've hit the nail on the head.
Fantastic. So for anyone listening, the next episode we're going to be doing is where do vulnerabilities come from? Looking forward to that one. Back again in a couple of weeks. You can get this podcast and everything else we produce on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Music. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Bye now.